Today is Wednesday, November 24th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, President Joe Biden orders the release of 50 million barrels of oil from a strategic reserve to help bring down energy costs.
This is a problem, not just here in the United States, but around the world. So today I'm announcing that the largest ever release from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Ukraine receives patrol vessels from the U.S. amid rising tension with Russia.
We live in this hybrid war with Russia 8 years, so for us it's not surprised.
And road fatalities reached their highest level in the U.S. since 2006. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. U.S. President Joe Biden on Tuesday touted his administration's international and domestic efforts to tackle inflation and high gasoline prices, promising Americans a drop in prices at the pump, quote, before long, unquote. He announced what he called the largest ever release from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to boost domestic supplies in coordination with other countries. The White House is also probing possible illegal conduct by oil and gasoline companies that it says are keeping gas prices artificially high. Biden's administration, along with the Federal Reserve, had described sharp spikes in inflation earlier this year as transitory, but pressure for action has grown as the price surges have continued into the fall. The Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics reported earlier this month that U.S. consumer prices in October posted their highest annual gain in 31 years, driven by large jumps in the cost of gasoline and other goods. Biden acknowledged the pain Americans were feeling, but said his administration was working to clear log jams in supply chains, speed up work at U.S. ports, and work with retailers to ensure that store shelves were stocked in time for the winter holidays.
This is a problem, not just here in the United States, but around the world. So today I'm announcing that the largest ever release from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help provide the supply we need as we recover from this pandemic. In addition, I brought together other nations to contribute to the solution. India, Japan, Republic of Korea, and the United Kingdom have agreed to release additional oil from their reserves. And China may do more as well. This coordinated action will help us deal with a lack of supply, which in turn helps ease prices. The bottom line, today we're launching a major effort to moderate the price of oil, an effort that will span the globe in its reach and ultimately reach your corner gas station, God willing. It will take time, but before long, you should see the price of gas drop where you fill up your tank. And in the longer term, we will reduce our reliance on oil as we shift to clean energy. But right now, I will do what needs to be done to reduce the price you pay at the pump. Because the fact is, the price of oil was already dropping prior to this announcement, and many suggest in anticipation of the announcement. The price of gasoline in the wholesale market has fallen by about 10% over the last few weeks, but the price of the pump hasn't budged a penny. In other words, gas supply companies are paying less and making a lot more. They do not seem to be passing that on to the consumers at the pump. In fact, if the gap between wholesale and retail gas prices was in line with past averages, Americans would be paying at least 25 cents less per gallon right now. Instead, companies are pocketing the difference as profit. That's unacceptable. And that's why I've asked the Federal Trade Commission to consider whether potentially illegal and anti-competitive behavior in the oil and gas industry is causing higher prices for consumers, so we can assure the American people are paying a fair price for their gasoline. But we still face challenges in our economy. Disruptions related to the pandemic have caused challenges in our supply chain, which have sparked concern about shortages and contributed to higher prices. More goods are moving more quickly and more cheaply out of our ports, onto your doorsteps and onto store shelves. And so all these concerns a few weeks ago, there would not be ample food available for Thanksgiving. So many people talked about that, understandably. But families can rest easy. Grocery stores are well stocked with turkey and everything else you need for Thanksgiving. And the major retailers I mentioned have confirmed that their shelves will be well stocked in stores this holiday season. And that's good news for those moms and dads who are worried about whether the Christmas gifts will be available.
That's U.S. President Joe Biden. This holiday season promises to be an extraordinary one. Experts say supply chain issues, the pandemic, inflation, and online sales will impact holiday shopping. Maxim Moskakov has the story.
In 2021, just like the previous year, the majority of holiday season shopping will likely be done online, say experts. The ease of online shopping is one pandemic lesson. According to research by Adobe Digital Insights, sales during the 2021 holiday season could top $207 billion in the U.S. alone. But that doesn't mean things are back to normal, according to Vivek Pandya from Adobe Digital Insights.
But because of the pandemic and because of these global supply chain issues, we're seeing prices kind of come into the season about 3% higher than what we've seen in the past. And then those actual discounts are becoming weaker. So as a result of the demand surges and more limited availability, the prices start to move up across these goods online.
And supply chain issues are prompting businesses to start cutting prices early and not waiting to start the Christmas in a mad rush on the day after Thanksgiving called Black Friday.
Retailers don't necessarily want there to be a mad rush of orders placed right before, the Christmas holiday, for example, because they might not be able to fulfill those kinds of orders. So it's in their best interest to kind of shift demand earlier.
Isaac says due to supply chain problems, stores are more focused on having the most popular items in stock rather than a variety of options for consumers. Consumer psychologist Dana Hoffman says holiday shoppers may be disappointed.
I think many people in the United States anyway have this attitude that, it's kind of normal. We're back to normal. And they're going to expect that kind of normalcy maybe when they go online. I think retailers need to get ready for the onslaught of returns. So maybe more than any other time, I think there's that frustration is going to turn into a lot of disappointment.
Online shopping has also changed the concept of holiday shopping on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
In the past, it was Cyber Monday, right? Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Now it's this holiday shopping. It's like Cyber November. It's Black November. There's a lack of CDL, commercial driving licensed individuals. So there's a definite labor shortage of those individuals. There's a massive labor shortage of retailers.
Experts advise consumers to be less picky choosing gifts this year and always have a plan B if something doesn't quite go according to plan. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
The number of road fatalities in the U.S. has reached the highest level since 2006 in the first half of 2021, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. And the reason why may have to do with the pandemic. Karina Barfajian has the story.
An estimated 20,000 people were killed in road accidents in the first half of 2021, says the U.S. Department of Transportation's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. That's the largest six-month increase ever recorded. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg expressed his dismay. Speeding is among the reasons for the higher death toll, says Adam Snyder of the Governor's Highway Safety Association.
A lot of states are reporting excessive speeding. I don't mean 10, 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. I'm talking triple-digit speeds, 120, 130 miles an hour. So we really need to get speeding under control. Impaired driving is another big issue that claims about 10,000 lives every year.
Experts say the pandemic is playing a role in traffic deaths. That's because highways were less busy and many drivers adopted a riskier style of driving. That includes using mobile phones while driving. Another reason for the rising number of accidents is that there are fewer policemen on the roads. According to Snyder, both the pandemic and the anti-police protests across the U.S. led to the dwindling number of traffic police. Just seeing police, Snyder says, can reinforce safe driving behavior.
Officers on the road can really reinforce that point and to address the most dangerous drivers too. A police officer can take a drunk driver off the road with an arrest, and that could potentially prevent a crash.
Some states like North Dakota and West Virginia have announced plans to increase the number of traffic police on the roads in December 2021. They will also display more banners reminding drivers about traffic laws and the possible tragic consequences of not following the rules. Karina Befredjian for VOA News, Washington.
The Ukrainian Navy said on Tuesday that two refitted former U.S. Coast Guard patrol boats intended to bolster the country's navy have arrived at the Ukrainian Black Sea port of Odessa. The two new boats are part of a package of assistance to Kyiv that has been worth over $2.5 billion since 2014, the year Russia annexed the Crimea Peninsula from Ukraine and Russia-backed separatists seized a large swath of the eastern part of the country. Ukrainian sailors have already undergone extensive training on the vessels in the United States. The country got two similar vessels in 2019. The United States, Ukraine, and NATO have accused Russia of threatening behavior towards Kyiv in recent weeks, alleging that it has built up its forces in proximity to Ukraine in an unusual way. Russia says it has the right to move its troops anywhere it wants on its own territory, and it's not planning to attack anyone. The Kremlin said in September that NATO would cross the Russian red line if it expanded its military infrastructure in Ukraine, and Moscow has since accused Ukraine and NATO of destabilizing behavior, including in the Black Sea. Kyiv lost most of its Black Sea naval power after the annexation of Crimea when Russia seized much of its navy. It has since been trying to rebuild its navy with the help of NATO countries. Amid concerns about the unusual buildup of Russian troops near the Russian-Ukraine border, the Ukrainian Minister of Defense came to Washington to talk about defense and strategic issues. Ostap Yarish reports.
U.S. officials say they are monitoring a buildup of Russian military forces near the border with Ukraine. The Ukrainian Minister of Defense, who is in Washington, says the constant Russian military presence is nothing new.
Our intelligence and American intelligence, or United Kingdom intelligence, they do their job, and we matched or compare the research, and we see the same picture. We live in this hybrid war with Russia 8 years. So for us, it's not surprised.
In response, the U.S. Secretary of Defense confirmed his support for Ukraine.
Second, I want to reassure you, as President Biden has said to President Zelensky, our support for Ukraine's self-defense, sovereignty, and territorial integrity is unwavering.
The Institute for the Study of War is also monitoring the movement of Russian troops near Ukraine. Lead Russia analyst Mason Clark says they are seeing military movement. He also says an invasion of Ukraine could prove counterproductive for Russian President Vladimir Putin.
A major offensive operation would likely impose significant costs, either delaying the certification of Nord Stream, sparking increased deployments by NATO or other European forces into Ukraine, and it likely would be a fairly high-cost operation. The Ukrainian military of 2021 is not the Ukrainian military of 2014.
However, former Deputy Secretary General of NATO Alexander Vezhbo says it may be worth the risk for Putin.
Putin may feel that he has to take greater risks to prevent Ukraine from succeeding in its efforts to join the West. And so, because this is about Mr. Putin's legacy and his self-image as the ingatherer of Russian lands, he may take action that doesn't seem entirely logical from our point of view.
The Ukrainian defense minister says the promise of support of the West is of crucial importance.
We are ready. Military guys are ready, but we need unit help from all civilized world. We have no time to be in fear. We need time to be prepared for resilience.
Ostap Yarish, Miroslava Gongadze, and Alexei Osika for VOA News.
Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta arrived in South Africa on Tuesday for a two-day visit in which a coup in Sudan and war in Ethiopia were discussed. David Doyle of Reuters has more.
A military band welcomed Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta to South Africa on Tuesday, where the main topics being discussed were how to promote peace on the continent. That includes Sudan, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said, following a military coup last month.
We strongly condemn any unconstitutional change of government and call on the parties to engage in constructive, good faith and peaceful dialogue to restore the country's constitutional order.
Ramaphosa said the two leaders had also discussed the grave situation in Ethiopia.
We expressed our conviction that there is scope for dialogue amongst the warring parties in Ethiopia and that there is an urgent need for all parties to the conflict to commit to an immediate, indefinite, and a negotiated ceasefire and an all-inclusive political dialogue.
On Monday, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed vowed to join his troops on the front line in the fight against rebellious Tigrayan forces.
That's David Doyle of Reuters. Burkina Faso's shutdown of internet access on cell phone networks has entered a fourth day. The government has said the shutdown is necessary for, quote, national defense and public security, unquote, while activists say it is a violation of public rights. Harry Wilkins reports from Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso.
The shutdown of internet access via mobile phone networks that began Saturday dragged on for a fourth day Tuesday. The government said in a statement the shutdown is in the interest of national defence and public security and will last until around 10 p.m. tonight. VOA talked to some Burkinabes on the streets of Ouagadougou to ask how the shutdown was affecting them and what they thought of the government's decision. Alexi Sawadogo, a physician, spoke outside a bank on one of the city's busy boulevards. He said he was there to check his account balance as the shutdown meant he could no longer do so online. It disconnects us from our friends who are outside the country with whom we communicate regularly, he says. He says he understands that it's because of the French convoy that was blockaded in the north, but says insecurity is not a valid reason and that the government needs to review its strategy. The shutdown has come in the wake of protests in recent days that have blocked a French military supply convoy that is attempting to travel from Ivory Coast to Niger. Protesters say they want an end to French military intervention in the regional war against Islamist militants. There have also been protests against the government's handling of security after a terrorist group believed to be associated with Al-Qaeda killed more than 50 military police in an assault on a base in northern Burkina Faso on November 14th. Ali Deorgo, a university student, said the shutdown has affected his ability to work and learn the latest news. He says he doesn't understand why the shutdown is happening, but he hears the voice of the Burkinabe youth. I feel the anger of the movement, he says, adding that even if he doesn't join protests against security, he supports them. A funeral for some of the victims of the attack is taking place in Ouagadougou today. Drabo Mahamadou is the National Executive Secretary of the Save Burkina Faso movement, one of the protest groups that is calling for President Roch Kabore to resign. He said they have called on the population to attend Tuesday's funeral and to attend a protest on Saturday. He says because the government is insensitive to pain, we are calling on the population to come out en masse on the 27th. We want protesters to prove that this government is not helping Burkina Faso. It's the government that's causing harm to the Burkinabe people. A government spokesperson could not be reached for comment. Eloise Bertrand is a research fellow at the University of Portsmouth who focuses on Burkina Faso. She thinks the restrictions on the internet are unwise.
I think that this shutdown may well backfire against the government. We can see that civil society groups and stakeholders who were not really involved in the protests against the French convoy are annoyed and angered by this internet shutdown.
Reports suggest the French military convoy is now waiting in the town of Zanare, about 30 kilometres north of the capital. Protests are also said to be taking place in the town. With the demonstrations continuing, it remains to be seen if the government will lift the internet shutdown tonight. Further protests are scheduled for Saturday. Henry Wilkins for VOA News, Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso.
At least 45 people, including 12 children, died as a bus carrying mostly North Macedonian tourists crashed in flames on a highway in western Bulgaria on Tuesday, officials said. Libby Hogan of Reuters reports.
At least 45 people died in a bus accident in western Bulgaria on Tuesday, including 12 children. TV footage showed the bus charred and gutted by fire. On board the bus had been mostly North Macedonian tourists. The cause of the crash was unclear, but the bus appeared to have hit a highway barrier either before or after it caught fire. Bulgaria's Interior Minister, Boyko Rashkov, vowed to carry out an investigation.
Not everyone can stand such a picture. The picture is terrifying. The details of this tragedy will be investigated. It is hard to look there, hard to look. I do not know if we should go into the details at these early hours. Maybe we should leave it for later. In my experience, I have never seen anything like this.
Seven people who leapt from the burning bus were rushed to hospital in the city of Sofia and were in a stable condition. The accident happened on Stroma Highway, about 28 miles west of Sofia, around 2 a.m. local time. North Macedonia's foreign minister said the coach party was returning to Skopje from a weekend holiday trip to Istanbul.
That's Libby Hogan of Reuters. In other news, the Biden administration notified Congress on Tuesday it is ending Colombia's largest guerrilla group's designation as a terrorist organization, according to a congressional aide granted anonymity to disclose the situation. State Department spokesman Ned Price confirmed the U.S. had informed Congress of an action it was taking with regard to the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, widely known by its acronym FARC. Price refused to say what the action was. However, FARC fought for a half century in an era of devastating political violence in Colombia, carrying out bombings, assassinations, kidnappings and attacks in the name of redistributing wealth to Colombia's poor. The group signed a peace deal in 2016 and in 2018 took part in a UN-supervised decommissioning of the last of its accessible weapons. Price called the peace deal a seminal turning point in some ways in the long-running Colombian conflict, unquote. The group today is designated as a political party with a guaranteed share of seats in Colombia's legislature. For more on this story and other breaking news, visit our website at voanews.com. Remember to connect with us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Search for VOA Africa. You are listening to VOA's International Edition. I am Chinua Nwafu in Washington. Economists say China's model of investment in Africa is gaining public support despite the debt burden it poses on many countries. According to economic experts and the locals, the United States' multi-billion dollar investments in Africa are less visible and makes less of an impact on people's daily lives. Victoria Munga reports from Nairobi.
Catherine Kiura's electronic business is one of thousands in Kenya that distributes products both from China and Western countries. Kiura says her Chinese products are moving the fastest.
There's first quality, second quality to fifth quality. So it depends with what the customer is asking for. Because we will sell something that a customer wants. If it's a bulb for 30 shillings, I have. If it's a bulb for 50 shillings, I have.
Electronics is a target area of investment by Chinese companies in Africa. Locals say such investments are impacting their daily lives directly. Joseph Kamau is a resident in Nairobi. He says a lot of products we see in the shops are from China. Government projects we hear also are being run by Chinese. So even though America is investing, we haven't seen them on the ground. He says we hear that America has done this and that, but we haven't seen them at the grassroots. Economists like Wahoro Ndoho say the model of investment by foreign countries is key in the competition for influence across Africa.
China has followed its money in. Whenever it's invested, unlike other lenders, it's actually followed its projects with the engineers, sometimes even to an extreme of having their own workers. But then resulted in is you've had a very visible impact.
During his three-nation tour of Africa last week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said his country is investing in the continent without imposing unsustainable levels of debt. Wahoro told VOA that distinction is an important one.
If you look in the overall picture of the debt stock, and by this I mean other types of debt beyond commercial, because China has been mainly commercial debt, the West is still ahead in terms of in actual dollars on the ground, and also because if you include the Bretton Woods institutions, the World Bank and IMF, then the totality of that bilateral and multilateral institutions, you could say the West is still, this is still the West's space.
In a bid to strengthen relations with Africa, the White House has announced it will host an African Leaders Summit in 2022. Victoria Amunga for VOA News, Nairobi.
A mission is underway to retrieve scientific data from the rugged ocean floor in the Southern Ocean, formerly known as the Antarctic Ocean, that could explain what triggers underwater earthquakes and tsunamis. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Some of the world's most violent underwater earthquakes are unleashed beneath the hostile waters of the Southern Ocean, but researchers don't know why. Sophisticated noise and motion sensors could help unlock the secrets of how tectonic plates or pieces of the Earth's crust start to collide, a process known as subduction. For the past year, an array of 27 seismometers positioned on the ocean floor has formed a giant telescope pointing to the planet's core. The instruments are now being retrieved. Professor Hrvoje Kalčić, a chief scientist from the Australian National University's Research School of Earth Sciences, hopes the study will help to explain how and why earthquakes occur.
We cannot predict when exactly they will happen, how large they will be, but we can understand better their physical mechanism, and we can also understand better the Earth's structure in that area, and this is critical to predict the propagation of the seismic waves from the hypocenter of these earthquakes to any other point on the Earth's surface, including a possible generation of tsunami.
Scientists hope the study will give them a better understanding of how earthquakes and tsunamis might affect Australia and New Zealand, which lies within the seismically active region known as the Pacific Ring of Fire. The expedition is scouring some of the world's steepest underwater mountain ranges to depths of more than 3.5 miles in a remote area known as Macquarie Ridge, halfway between New Zealand and Antarctica. Researchers say the techniques could also be applied to other oceans. The international study is a collaboration with various Australian institutions, the University of Cambridge and the California Institute of Technology. The three-week voyage began in Wellington, New Zealand on November 10. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA is planning to test one strategy it hopes will prevent a devastating asteroid strike, such as the one nearly 66 million years ago that is said to have wiped out about 70% of all of Earth's living species. The mission is called the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, and it's scheduled to launch no earlier than 0621 UTC on Wednesday, November 24th. According to NASA, the DART mission will be the first test of the kinetic impactor technique that would change the motion of an asteroid in space or deflect its path away from Earth. DART's mission target is a 160-meter-wide asteroid in the binary asteroid system Didymos. NASA says the spacecraft will intercept its target sometime in late September 2022 when the asteroid is within 11 million kilometers of Earth and observable by ground-based telescopes. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
They're still trying to figure out what are the specific policies from the White House.
VOA Asia, your daily digest of top Asia stories.
Beijing has especially hazardous levels of air pollution.
Blending American and Asian perspectives.
China is protecting wildlife.
Original reports and series, education, health, technology. Stories that mean something to your daily life. VOA Asia.
This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage and world events and news 24 hours a day at voanews.com. Until next time, I am Chinua Achebe in Washington, wishing you a wonderful day.
This is the Voice
of America. Washington, bam, bam.